It's time for Alaska Realty Today on KFAR Radio. A look at real estate and property management in interior Alaska. Alaska Realty Today, brought to you by Next Home Arctic Sun Realty. Now for your hosts, Kirk Maynard and Jamie Napolsky.
Hi, I'm Kirk Maynard.
And I'm Jamie Napolsky.
Can you hear me okay?
Am I what?
Can you hear me okay?
Yeah.
Okay.
Can you hear you? No?
I checked it, but now I can't, so.
Oh, no.
As long as you can hear me, I'm fine.
I can, yes, but we're going to have to adjust the microphone. It's something down below, but I don't know. We'll have a professional come in. Yeah. All right, do you have any fun facts for us today?
I do. So in our office meeting, we were playing around with AI and ChatGPT, and so I thought I would get a fun fact from ChatGPT just for fun.
All right, let's see what it says.
Okay, so here's my first one. In Scotland, where my daughter just lived for a year, homeowners used to paint their front door red to signal that they had completely paid off their mortgage. It was a proud and slightly cheeky way to let the neighborhood know that they were debt-free.
Hmm. I love that.
Interesting, huh?
Yeah.
Here's a fun fact that you probably know. Las Vegas law of the desert. In Las Vegas, some homeowners associations fine residents for having too many real plants because they waste water. Artificial turf and desert landscaping are actually encouraged.
Yes.
Does that
sound
right?
That is correct, yeah.
Empire State Building rent trick. During the Great Depression, the Empire State Building was nicknamed the Empty State Building because so few tenants could afford to rent. To make it look occupied, the owners kept all the lights on at night. Kind of crazy one. This one's really interesting. Tiny homes, big value in Japan. In Japan, houses lose value over time, unlike in most countries. Many Japanese homes are rebuilt every 20 to 30 years because new construction is seen as cleaner, safer, and more modern.
Hmm. I could see that.
Crazy.
Yeah.
And the last one I'll give you doesn't really surprise you, but because space is so limited, Amsterdam has over 2,500 houseboats that count as official residents. So they got addresses, they get mail delivery, they get utilities, so...
I feel like there's a couple cities in the U.S. that do that.
I've been I don't know if it was one of the duck boats, but anyway, we're cruising around. I don't know if it was Lake Union or, but in Seattle, there are some rad houseboats there.
Yeah.
And they were, they're probably $1 million-plus house. I mean, they were just, they look like floating houses. So
yes,
very
they do
cool.
Some really incredible, on some of the house shows, you really get a tour of some absolutely amazing. I always think it would be weird, but. I think they do such an amazing job. And,
it's crazy.
Yeah, and it doesn't feel like a boat. So
not at all.
Yeah. All right, so today we're going to talk about keeping your house operating during a cold Alaskan winter. We have some facts from all over. We've reached out to Cooperative Extension Services here from UAF to get some information. But just things to think about. I think we're always going to be considering how to prep and keep yourself safe just because there's so many things. So, of course, our fact is always to have things serviced. I was really surprised. I'm going to share this story. So I went and did a showing maybe 2 months ago. And so I was reading through the AS3470, which is just a document that that the seller would fill out providing information on their house.
Yeah,
It's a disclosure.
It's a disclosure, yeah. It's our state disclosure. It's required for the transfer of any residential real estate.
Yes. And what was interesting is in the disclosure, they said we finally had our septic cleaned because we realized we had never had it cleaned. And so that was a little bit of a flag for me as a realtor. I thought, okay, so you've lived in the house 5 years. You've never had it cleaned before.
Like have it pumped?
Never. Yes. Ah. They had never had anything done with the septic. And so with that, I thought, okay, now that is a little concerning because that makes me think maybe they've not really done anything with any maintenance.
Yes.
Maybe not had the furnace cleaned just because they didn't know any better. They just lived in the house.
That's so true.
And didn't think about all the other things that might require any maintenance because sometimes, unbeknownst to a buyer,
Well, there's septics in the lower 48 too, but maybe it's a first time home buyer that just
didn't
know better.
Maybe you just, instead of maybe doing some maintenance, you just think, I won't do anything until it breaks. You know, I have no idea.
Right.
I don't, I have friends that are not fixers at all. They do not do a fix. They do not do, like, for an example, I have a really good friend that I said, you have a lot of cracking in your house. The walls have shifted a lot, but their house is on, not stilts, but on...
Post on pad?
Yes, it's a post on pad house. And I said, have you ever done any adjustments? And they said, no. Would we do adjustments? And I said, yes, it's... To me, it would be, again, I'm not a post on pad person. I'm not an expert, but I said it would be something you'd bring somebody out every year. And then they would just look at it and say, yes, you need something, an adjustment on one, an adjustment on none. So a yearly kind of checkup on the post on pad would really help the cracking. It would help the shifting. And it's just good to have, you know, all the things that the post on pad is built on. Always looked at.
And you don't want crack in your house. So.
Correct. Yes, you don't want crack in your house. So they were very surprised by that. They had no idea. They had never had that done before. So it was a lot of maintenance. So when the people came, I think I had recommended Thompson Leveling. I don't know if that's who they ended up going with, but they brought them in. They not only had to have all four of them adjusted, they needed to have some of them beefed up, so there needed to be some additional things done. They needed to have gravel cleared. They needed to have, there was a lot more. I mean, they put the investment in, they did what needed to be done appropriately, but it was a very hefty bill.
Yeah.
And a one-time bill versus smaller increments of like maintenance being done. So again, I think a lot of people don't realize sometimes that, you know, your maybe your oil fired furnaces or your stoves or your water heaters should be maintained. And I think when you get somebody that starts to become familiar with your systems, they're going to tell you, I need to come every year, or I don't need to come every year. This is, you know, everything is really, really great. I'll come every other year and check this because, you know, there's only two people in the house, or you use so much of this. And it really depends on family size. You know, we're only a two-person family. You guys rotate in family size just based on how many kids are home or how many people you have in your house. So all of that can really depend on, you know, I think they tell you, like, we have two different septic systems in our house. They came and we had them both done. And then they were like, you just don't use the septic enough for us to do both systems every year.
Yeah.
We'll do the one and then we'll do the other one every other year. Yeah. And we said, okay.
That's kind of what we're going to have going on at our house. We have the two septic systems, one that's far from being done, and then the other leach field that's brand new. So
right.
We might actually go back and forth between the two. Interesting.
Yes. And I just think that there's things out there. I think once you meet your kind of person that helps maintain things, they'll really tell you, yes, this is what you need to do. So, but when things get really cold here, 20 degrees and above, or even 20 below and colder, those are times when you really need to start taking precautions, specifically when you need to look at whether or not your things need to be insulated. The fuel tank might need to be insulated. The pipes might need to be insulated. So bringing in professionals to look, because sometimes we have a system that might have worked for a very long time, but you don't know maybe what the seller, you know, might have had leaks, things might have cracked.
Just when it gets cold, everything goes wrong. And we let our fuel tank go down too far, and it froze the line up. I don't know if it was because there was just a low flow of fuel coming in since it got so low, but it froze up between the, you know, the buried fuel tank and the, and the boiler, and so we had to shoot some CO cartridges to clear out the frozen lines. But it's when it gets 40 below, it seems like everything breaks down.
Yeah, and you don't. I mean, again, things also. You don't ever know, like, how much are you running through it? I think the biggest and scariest thing is when people leave their houses. So,
especially
when we're selling and then they have left and maybe they turn. I think the hardest part, like, we always had this with the students, is it's really warm the day you leave. So, you've turned the heat down because you're thinking, oh, it's so nice out.
Yeah. My daughter's up in the dorms and she says she's sweating all the time. It's so hot in there.
And then you forget that what 40 below outside is going to be like, and then it's going to drastically change everything. And that's exactly what happens, I think, when you're selling a house and let's say you leave, you're going to leave maybe when it's 20 degrees. Not for one second are you thinking, do I need to set the temperature for what it's going to be like at 40 below or 50 below? And then that house just cannot keep up for the heating, or something just happens. Something cracks, something breaks. So it's just something to think about when you're bringing people in, that, you know, filters might need to be installed on fuel oil tanks. You know, they can capture dirt and also water, condensation. They need to be maintained and drained. So it's just bringing in people to look at all of that
and
stuff.
And the ventilation, too.
Yes.
And that could be for your heating system, or it could be for your cook stoves. But you can have chimneys that are blocked or chimneys that need to be cleaned. You can just have ventilation blockages in your appliances. So those are things you need to look at.
Yes. And then we talked about a little bit about chimney and air intake vents. You know, making sure sometimes we have people come in and we don't have the chimneys cleaned. And so that's something that
I'm guilty. I need to do mine.
Yeah. I think it's just because we don't always use them. So sometimes people don't
Well, your
always,
boiler chimney, hopefully you're using it.
Yes, but I mean, sometimes for the other, you know, with the
wood
with
stove.
The wood stove. Yeah. Sometimes I think people are like, oh, I haven't used my wood stove in a year. And then we really, really start using it. Then we don't use it, or we go back and forth on how those things go. And so, or we just don't have that service isn't offered. Like, you bring in somebody to maintain the boiler, but they don't do the chimney cleaning. They just maintain the boiler and not the chimney. And so it just doesn't get done because you brought in the person.
Total different person, yeah.
Yes. And so you're thinking, oh, everything's good with the boiler. And we do forget the chimney. And it gets incredibly dirty. So, of course, that can just always be something that – it's just something that we easily – I think a lot of people are very – like, I was just talking about it with my husband, and I said, I don't know the last time we had our chimney cleaned. And so I know we had part of the pipe replaced when we had the roof replaced, but I thought we need to get somebody over here and have that done. And again, we're about to hit a crazy winter. So, you know, you just never know what the temperatures are going to be like. And I'd hate to send anybody up onto the roof or whatever when it gets super icy, because you just never know what the conditions of the roof are like up there. And I don't want anybody to ever get hurt, but,
true. Can I read this expert?
Yeah.
Expert, this piece from the Cooperative Extension.
Yeah,
it's the oil-fired furnaces, stoves, and water heaters.
Yes.
I think it's especially important for people that are new to Alaska or Fairbanks, or people that are new to buying a home. At temperatures of 20 above or colder, number two diesel fuel oil begins to congeal, preventing it from flowing properly. Even number one diesel heating oil stops flowing adequately at around minus 60 degrees. Some people mix these two grades of oil in their supply tanks so their fuel will flow during cold weather. While this can be a good idea, it does not guarantee adequate fuel flow when the temperature plummets. A much better precaution is to buy only number one oil if you don't have a way to keep your storage tank warm. I did read earlier too, not to dump like heat, like you might put it in your gas tank. Don't put that into your heating fuel. Shelter and insulate the fuel tank, and especially the fuel supply pipe. Enclosing, insulating, or in an emergency, piling large volumes of loose snow around the tank can be ineffective for the short term. To ensure cold weather operation for the long term, however, enclose the supply system in such a way that heat can be provided and maintained. A simple heat source can be an electric incandescent light bulb hung inside an enclosure large enough to allow air circulation around the pipe. Use an electric hair dryer to temporarily warm a section of the frozen supply line. However, do not use electric heat tapes on fuel supply lines, because this creates a fire hazard and houses have been burned down by such installations. I bet you there's some people out there with that happening.
Yes.
Buried supply pipes will be warmer even in frozen ground than exposed to severely cold air. However, the lower level of a buried pipe can interfere with gravity feed for the fuel. Also, water or condensation collects at the lowest point in the system, so a buried pipe can become an inaccessible point of frozen water blockage. Filters should be installed on all fuel oil tanks. They capture not only dirt, but also water and condensation. They must be maintained and drained periodically. Drain the water out of the filter until oil begins to flow out. Keep the supply tank as full as possible. So auto fuel is a good way to go. Don't do what I did. I give you my story of letting it go all the way down, and then it froze my line. Space in above ground tanks generates condensation, results in water in the fuel. Yep. Commercial diesel fuel additives that lower the congealing point of stove oils are available. These additives work only when the oil is liquid and only if they are agitated into the oil. Therefore, I said agitated, right?
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, the practical time to add them is when the tank is filled. Sheltering and heating the fuel storage tank is the best way to prevent your oil supply from freezing. However, if you decide to use diesel fuel additives, be sure to consult your supplier so that you get the right product for your particular fuel. And they want to caution us. Do not use open flame heat sources like gas lanterns, charcoal burners, and kerosene heaters for warming frozen fuel supply lines. Such devices can ignite leaking or clinging oil and causing a house fire. We just had a rip-roaring bunch of them about 2 weeks ago. I don't know if you saw that. But
yep.
I had a pulse point, and it was, I swear to God, 10 houses burned in like actually a week. If the fuel stops flowing during a cold spell, the problem can sometimes be solved by taking the filter cartridge out of the filter unit. Slight congealing at the small filter pores can stop the fuel flow. Likewise, a large diameter pipe for the outside segment of the supply line allows fuel to flow at lower temperatures than through small tubing. Another solution to this problem is to install the fuel filter inside a heated area of the house. You can warm up a tank of stove oil by enclosing in a tent of clear construction plastic to capture the sun's rays. This may temporarily solve the flow problem. Some people can keep a container of heating oil separate from their main supply. If necessary, a container can be moved inside and connected to the furnace or stove. However, this increases the chance of a house fire because fuel can be leaked or spilled and ignited inside a house. I've seen people do that before.
Yeah.
Where they're running it off a jug of heating fuel because they're dealing with a 40 below frozen line, but it keeps your boiler going while you're dealing with that issue.
Yeah. If you're just joining us now, we're talking about keeping your house operating during a cold Alaskan winter. We're really referencing some great resources from Cooperative Extension Services from UAF. And we are going to take a quick commercial break, though.
Sure.
And then you can come back and join us again.
All right. Be right back.
Alaska Realty Today with Kirk and Lisa Maynard returns right after this on 97.5 FM KFAR Radio.
Each week, people are saving big time. With the radio station's weekly 50-50 Friday offer, there's simply no better way to promote your business. As our 50-50 Friday promotion airs every hour, every day for a full week on 8 of Fairbanks' most popular radio stations, there's simply no better way to get the word out about your business. So if you have a grand opening plan, maybe a big sale, special event or promotion, or just want to get the word out, this is the best way to let the public know about it. As your business receives more than $10,000 in promotional value over the course of 1 week, with your ads playing constantly, as well as being promoted live by our talented local radio announcers. And the best part, all that it costs you are some gift certificates. It's 50-50 Friday from the radio station, which is why we have local businesses sign up again and again and again. Call us today and tell us you want to promote your business with 50-50 Friday. It's the best way to let Fairbanks know. With the radio station's weekly 50-50 Friday offer, there's simply no better way to promote your business. Period.
Hi, this is Kirk and Lisa Maynard with Next Home Arctic Sun Realty.
We've been handling residential, commercial, and property management in Fairbanks for decades.
And nobody knows the market better.
Selling season is here, and the time to sell your home is now.
Here at Next Home Arctic Sun Realty, we offer exceptional visibility through high-end photography, along with Matterport 3D tours to showcase each home.
And each office is independently owned and operated.
So call us today, 456-4653.
Or online at nexthomearcticsun.com.
Spend your Saturdays with KFAR Radio for local programs, starting with Alaska Realty Today from Next Home Arctic Sun Realty at 11 a.m. The Buzz at 11:30, brought to you by the Tanana Herb Company, followed by Health Talk with Dr. Scott Looper from White Spruce Medical at noon, Compo's Outdoor Show at 12:30, Fairbanks Foodies at 1 p.m., Explore Fairbanks at 1:30, The Drive with Glacier Garage at 2 p.m., followed by Building Alaska with Jen Solar. Weekends just got local with KFAR Radio. Now, we return to Alaska Realty Today on KFAR Radio. Brought to you by Next Home Arctic Sun Realty. Now your hosts, Kirk and Lisa Maynard.
And Jamie.
Oh my gosh. Kirk is having some technical difficulties in the studio. He can't get it together.
Fiddling with my headphones.
All right. So if you're just joining us, we're talking about keeping your house operating during a cold Alaskan winter. We're just trying to give you some tips and tricks, especially if you're new here. Or
are you going to jinx us into the 40 below?
No.
It was 10 below yesterday.
No, don't say it. I don't even. I'm not even.
The F word, 40 below.
I'm not even really acknowledging winter at this point. I'm barely wearing a winter coat. I'm like, I have my lightest Uggs on.
If you're just joining us, Jamie's in a bikini in the studio because she's in denial that it's.
Never.
This winter.
I'm like, I'm not acknowledging it. All right, so let's talk about chimneys and air intake vents.
Yeah.
Any advice on that?
So when air is exhausting, when it gets that cold, it does build up moisture. And then when it goes up and expands and all the science behind it, but it can actually freeze to the inside of your exhaust or your chimneys. And so, yeah.
That's what can happen.
Yeah.
All right.
So an air intake or combustion exhaust blockage can cause malfunctioning in an oil or gas-fired heater in cold weather. All chimneys and flues that exhaust combustion gases from fuel heating devices can be blocked by frozen condensation. And I actually didn't really know that. Didn't know that frozen condensation is something that you need to look out for.
Yes.
The exhaust gases contain water that is vaporized by the fire and carried out in the smoke. These gases get so cold while exiting through the flue that the water vapor in them changes to water, collects on the chimney, and freezes. So, fun fact. Caution, never use heat, H-E-E-T, type water separators and heating oil. Gasoline additives can cause your furnace or stove to explode. That's straight up from the UAF Cooperative Extension.
Yes.
So this is coming from their document. To prevent chimney condensation problems, install insulated stovepipes for chimneys on any type of furnace or heater. We see that on our home inspection reports.
Right.
Wood stove owners, because one, you don't want to burn your kids, and then obviously the secondary reason, wood stove owners should burn only well-dried wood. And that's been a hot topic over the last, 5 or 10 years. I know we get ours that are kiln-dried wood. We pay a premium for it. But gosh, it burns so good. It burns dry. The kiln that comes off of it is crazy good. So, they have little, I think I have one. I can't remember. But you could check the amount of moisture in your wood. I have a little gauge for that we use for sheetrock or when looking at houses that maybe seem like they're wet. You can use that for your wood too. So, and then of course you don't want that moisture.
Is that an Amazon product?
It should be an Amazon.
So need to put our link together.
Just click the link to the right. If you guys are watching us on YouTube, just kidding.
We're gonna get that together at some point.
But so that's a good point. So if you are using wood that is not dried, then you can have extra condensation going up into your chimney and freezing. So another reason to burn dry wood. Agreed?
Yes. 100%.
So check your chimney during periods of extreme cold and remove condensation ice. I've never done that before, so that's interesting. Some heating units have an air intake and combustion exhaust pipes that end near one another outside the house. On some of these units, the warm exhaust air passes near the cold air intake pipe, and it condenses and freezes during extreme cold. If your heater is designed this way and begins to malfunction during the severe cold, check and remove any blockage. An electric hair dryer is useful.
I know. That's like the number one tool. You don't have one, we have a problem.
Duct tape. On some installations, hot water can be poured over the outside intake pipe to melt the frost blockage. I've seen my dad do that. To maintain an ice-free intake vent pipe, wrap it with thermostatically controlled electric heat tape if the pipe is accessible. My dad did not do that. That's why I'd see him on the roof every year pouring hot water down the vents. Clean chimneys with properly sized chimney brushes. This is especially important if the blockage is at the top, because the condensation may be building up in other parts of the chimney as well. We just have somebody come to ours.
Yes.
My son almost got into chimney cleaning because there was a 2 or 3 years ago, we had a UAF kid come over and he just zips it out. And I think he charged a couple hundred bucks and for 30 minutes, my son's like, $400 an hour.
I could do this.
I should be doing this. I'm like, yes, you should be, or any sort of job. Rain caps on chimneys increase the potential for frost blocks because the rain cap provides more cold surface for the frost to collect on. Therefore, if you have a problem with frost blockage, it's a good idea to temporarily remove the rain cap or replace it when the cold period is over. I have not heard that before. Hmm. In addition, ensure you are burning well-dried wood to reduce the moisture content of the smoke. We already said that. In areas of Alaska where winters are typically very cold, that would be us, it is common to see ladders left in place on the roof or built onto the roof surface. I've seen both of those, making it much easier to get to a problem chimney when there's snow buildup and extreme temperatures. And thanks to Jamie, we're going to have really cold extreme temperatures. Because
we're not going to have.
She chose this
Topic. It's been like the weirdest. I don't know. It's just been a weird weather. So right. I don't know. Yeah. Didn't you feel like?
Well, because it was like 90% humidity out there.
Yeah, it's just, I don't know. I would love for it to just be mild. I could handle some mildness for the rest of the.
I think you'd have to move to another latitude.
No, it's not going to happen.
You live in Siberia.
I know. All right.
Go.
Let's touch on propane and other gas-fired appliances. Propane field appliances can stop working because of extreme cold. Liquid propane boils.
That changes into the gas?
Yes, at minus 44 degrees and liquefies at the same temperature. So when the content of propane storage tank reaches that temperature, gas cannot get it to your appliances. The propane has changed to liquid. So that
must be the number I keep seeing thrown out where, because we run off actually propane tanks outside. Yeah. It runs our gas dryer and our gas stovetop. And so I've only had it freeze up, I think, once when we had 60 below. So I don't know what we're doing right. Or if we're just closer to our house, maybe it's a little bit warmer than, out in our driveway. So maybe, it's a good probably 10 degrees warmer next to the house. And
yep.
So that's probably what's going on there. But, yeah, if those things are getting frozen up, then – but we could have a gas line someday. You know that?
I know. That would be so lovely.
Actually, we're going to have Treg Taylor in here recording tomorrow. We're going to talk about the gas line, the likelihood, where it's at, all the forces that are in place, what's left, the final investment decision, all that fun stuff tomorrow. And so if that final investment decision happens in December, then they're going to start – the engineering is going to happen and the construction will start happening probably towards sometime next year.
Yeah.
And we could have natural gas flowing in Fairbanks in 2020 and 2029.
Oh my gosh. And then we'll start a rumor that maybe a Target would come.
I was at the borough planning board when Target wanted to go in where the Circle K is over there.
Yeah.
And
they want gas.
They want gas.
Yeah.
And I get it. And weren't gas ready. So.
Bum, bum, bum. All right, so let's finish up this before we have to head out of the studio today.
Fine. We'll do part two.
So protect propane systems. Think about sheltering and insulating the propane tank and line. That's the most practical approach to prevent propane freeze up. Which is great because we have a lot of clients that want a propane stove. So again, totally doable. You just really need to think about, if you're not lucky like Kirk and just have it near the house, just how to actually insulate it. To beat even the coldest weather, install an
explosion-proof light
that can be turned on when Amazon. Needed for heat. Yep. That would be funny. That we have a whole line of explosion-proof. We'll have to look at that. A small insulated frame shelter is adequate.
Let me look it up.
Heat stripping can also be used. Commercial products similar to electric heat tape, but designed for propane tanks is also available. If you're not sure, please seek out advice from a professional. If you're wanting to do these things and you kind of want to DIY something, but want all the right parts, then please make sure you go to seek a professional to help make sure you're getting the right stuff. So you're not, how we're cautioning you not to use heat or we're cautioning you not to use electric tape in some of these things. You want to make sure you get the right,
explosion proof light.
Awesome.
So it's like the lights that you will see in, I don't want to say industrial areas, but outside of buildings where it's got a crazy metal cage and it's got a crazy inner.
Yeah.
Whatever you want to call it, protective glass, if you will. Interesting. Okay.
That makes sense.
But they, yeah.
All right. What time is it? Are we already at time? Have we talked through this whole show already?
It's my birthday today.
I know. It's the best day ever when we celebrate you.
Are you going to sing it to me?
Happy birthday. No, we can't. We make it too ridiculous. But yes, happy birthday to Kirk. If you want to reach us, call us at 907-378-2400. Ask for Kirk. I'll transfer you to him or ask for Jamie, and I will take your call.
You guys,
have the best Saturday ever. And stay tuned for Behind the Mission.
With the United Way.
All right.
Take care, you guys.
You have been listening to Alaska Realty Today on KFAR Radio and streaming live at KFARradio.com. To hear this program or past episodes, simply log on to KFAR.com and click the Archives tab to find Alaska Realty Today with Kirk and Lisa Maynard from Next Home Arctic Sun Realty, right here in Fairbanks. This has been a presentation of KFAR Radio, produced by Glenn Anderson, a Last Frontier Media Active production.